T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The guy who's going to do all this stuff and make all these decisions, assuming he doesn't follow our advice, is joining us on the Wester Hotline, and that would be Bills GM Brandon Bean. Brandon, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
How we doing, guys?
We're doing well. I'm not going to, and you don't have to say you don't listen to us, because that would hurt my ego. But do you laugh sometimes when you hear people speculating whether you're trading up, trading down? What would he trade up for? An edge rusher? I don't know what the hell these guys are talking about. Did you just ever like kind of giggle at all this stuff?
I think it's great, because it's that's what the sport's about. It's fun. I'd rather everybody be speculating about what we may or may not do than not talking about it. So, no, it's good. It's a fun time of year. We're excited in the building where we're at. And like I said yesterday, I wish we were picking 32, but hopefully one day we will.
You does your approach, your general approach to this draft, this is different, Brandon, than your previous ones as GM of the Bills. You're in contender now mode. You're drafting at the bottom of rounds, not in the top half of rounds. Does that affect your approach, how you plan for a draft, because you're in this different state, so to speak?
You know, you do think about it, and you do weigh short-term versus long-term, but at the end of the day, you want to take the best player, especially early in the draft. You don't want to bypass, okay, we're going to pass this really good player just to fill this position for need when there's a clear gap between the player. And a lot of times that's why you move around to fill some needs, but you want to make sure you're getting the value. You don't, if you got a guy, if we're at 30 and we've got a guy with a first round grade, but it's really not this position, quote unquote, that you guys might say is our need, and then we dip down into the second round on our board and take a position of need, like, that's not smart. Now, in the fourth, fifth round, after we've drafted a few positions, then you start moving to need a little bit. You may say, okay, it's the fourth round. I've got this guy at the top of the round, but it's really a redundant skill or position that we've already taken, and there's not going to be a lot of room. Let me just take this guy at the bottom of the round that will really feel a better need for us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. When it comes to the board this year, was it more of a challenge to put it together given the landscape that college football kind of went through?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been harder to – it's been a harder evaluation process because, you know, we like to get live on campus watching practices, see these guys move around, talk to people, games. Now, later in the year, we were able to go to games and sit in stands and things. It was just it was a weird year, but you're trying to gather information. It's easier when you're on campus. You're bumping into this coach. You're bumping into this trainer, whoever. It's harder to line up Zooms or get people on the phone, you know, more than to bump into people. So it's probably it's been a harder process, a longer process. But I think we're in a good position. And listen, every team's having to do it, so it's our job to find the advantages in the Zoom world we're in.
Bills GM Brandon Bean. Brandon, when it comes to grading a player or putting a number on a player, is it a specific, this guy's an 8.3? Or do you have a range where, you know, the scouts will all get together, the personnel people all get together and think, okay, player X, whoever it is, we have this as his floor and this as his ceiling. I think a lot of times when we talk about the draft, we talk about quarterbacks that way, and I wonder if the entire board is a little bit of that. You see a running back, you see a wide receiver, you might think this guy has a higher ceiling, but that the other guy has a higher floor and might be a safer pick. So are there ranges within a number that you might apply or whatever the grade might be to a specific player?
Yeah, I mean, we do talk about it, especially when we're comparing players. Let's say we have two linebackers and we're talking about them, and we're going, day one, linebacker A, he is going to come in here. He's got a better chance to start right away. He's very smart. He's instinctive. The game comes easy to him, but maybe he doesn't have all the athletic traits that linebacker B does, who's still developing, but you're going, man, if we can get this guy in our system and he doesn't have to play now, maybe he's the better long-range player, and he's going to definitely play four phases of special teams. So he's going to get a jersey, he's going to be a backup, and then hopefully in time he's got a higher ceiling. And so you do weigh that based on where your roster is position by position. You may have a certain position we're going, I can't wait right now. So we got these guys graded similar. I'm going to take the guy who's more ready to play now. Maybe he won't go as high, but he's going to be steady from the get-go. Or if it's a position of depth, that's where maybe you say, all right, you know what, this guy really has a high ceiling. We got to all understand, we got to be patient with him, and we take him.
My takeaway from that might be that as you get to closer and closer to a complete roster, that maybe the higher ceilings become more attractive, or at least not that it's a gamble, but that you have a little bit more room to aim for those higher ceilings.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's definitely it's position by position more than the whole roster. Where are you at in that position? How strong do you feel it is? And, hey, I don't need this guy to come in and start immediately. Fill in, back up, learn from the really good guys that are already here, and then here in time, maybe it's next season, maybe it's two seasons away, you turn it over to him and you're going, man, this was worth the wait.
Brandon, I want to ask you about running back and a philosophical question here, because when it comes to drafting a running back, you could hear different things from different fans. Never take one in the first round. Don't take one in the first 10. Yes, take one in the bottom 10. I knew you talked yesterday about home run hitter being there. So could you give us your philosophy about drafting a running back in round one?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on, you know, you put the value. What does this running back bring to you? I mean, you look at guys in this league, the guy in Minnesota, look at Christian McCaffrey. You know, he's a running back, and he's also a receiver. I mean, Christian McCaffrey could go out and play slot receiver right now and start for almost any team. Alvin Kamara, I mean, same skill set, same draft, heck of a pick by the Saints that year in the, I think, third round. But so it's what does this running back bring to you? Is he a two-down back? Is he a three-down back? Is he he's a good runner, but he's a great receiver, you know, as the passing game expands. So you put the value and how you're going to fit him into your offense. Like, what is he going to bring? Is he just a short yardage, goal line bruiser? Or is he, as I said yesterday, does he have a home run gear? Is he an elite pass catcher? You put all those things into play, and you put the value to how you would use them in your lineup.
The Chiefs came up in your Zoom call yesterday, and I wanted to ask you about, again, in terms of your draft approach. You've talked in the past, and other GMs do the same thing. Be aware of what's happening in your division. You know who you're matching up with, you know, two times every season, those other teams. How much of Kansas City, what they have and how you match up with them, and you mentioned, you know, Mahomes isn't going anywhere for a while, how much of what they're doing and who they are might impact your draft selections?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely talk matchups. You talk about in division, and you do talk about it with the teams, whether it's the Kansas Cities, you know, there's some other playoff teams. Baltimore's been there a lot. You talk about all the teams. You know, obviously you got to get out of your division first, so that's first and foremost before you talk about these other teams. But once you get out of that, if you can win your division, now how are we going to get to the game? Who are we going to have to go through to get to the big game? So you do talk about those matchups and what you have on your roster, what could be exploited if you played them today, you know, whether it's going into free agency or the draft. So you definitely have that, but you don't want to reach. I can't sit here and say, hey, we're missing this one piece on defense to quote-unquote stop Mahomes, and, you know, he's really a third-round player, but I'm going to reach for him, you know, at 30 or somewhere in the second round. So you still got to let the board put the value on the player and try and get him at the right position.
Jeremy asked you earlier about how this draft is different. The prep is different in so many ways. One of them is medicals, and you mentioned this yesterday, and I'm curious, listening to you talk about it's not at the normal level. You didn't get all the medical information you normally would have. Does it affect you now? Are you at a point where you wouldn't draft a guy necessarily this year because there is an injury history or something happened and you just don't have the full medical information you normally would get? This time you can't chance it.
Yeah, there are some guys that we've talked about, and I'm going to have some follow-ups. But our doctors, it's crazy. By now, that you know, it's pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered with all the draft guys, because not only did they see them in February, but they had where they bring them back, you know, in early April to re-image them, re-see them. So they're getting a second look at them. And then we got a lot of guys, we haven't seen them at all, so you are having to do their medical history or what images you got on them. It's, you know, I really did not agree with the league doing this, because even if we can't watch them run the 40, do the drills, the medical is the most important thing at Indy. And a lot of teams, I know I've talked to several, are scrambling right now, just like we are, to try and close as many loops on these guys to feel comfortable taking this player. The last thing you want to do is take a guy in the first, second round, and you come in and you your doctors get their hands on him going, hey, you know what, he needs a surgery. And you're like, you got to be kidding me. And that's a fear a lot of teams have, that normally you already know that by now, that this guy, hey, he may need his shoulder scoped, or he may have a hernia, and you put him on your board knowing that, hey, I may move him down a little bit, but I'm willing to accept this player with this. He's going to be out for the rest of the spring, but he'll be ready for training camp.
Bill GM Brandon Bean, how about fifth-year options? I mean, you've got to turn your attention to that once we get to past the draft. So should we be expecting news? You want to just tell us what the story is on fifth-year options?
You know what? Honestly, we've discussed it internally a little bit, but it's really get through this draft, and then immediately, you know, we get done Saturday. We'll talk, you know, Sunday, Monday, and up till May 3rd, and then make the right decision for us. But as I said yesterday, it's, you know, ideally the cap would have been up at 210, and it makes these decisions much easier. But we're going to try and figure it out. We love both players, and they've done a great job, and so we'll make that decision after the draft.
With the Josh Allen extension, Brandon, in light of the comments yesterday, you said you didn't think the cap was going to have a big increase next year. How important is the cost certainty of the biggest contract you'll be handing out to know exactly what the cap numbers are and have that knowledge before the next season begins, as opposed to, hey, we just can't work the numbers out, we'll take care of it next year?
Yeah, you know, we do want to do the best we can to see, again, are we going to have, is the league expecting full stadiums everywhere, or what's the revenue going to be, and how's that going to impact the cap? You know, even full stadiums, it's not going to be this huge jump back above where we were last season. I think a lot of us are hoping it just gets back to that 198 number. I don't know that it'll even get to 200. We'll see, but we will try and, you know, when we talk to his people this year, we'll try and come up with something that we know we can make work, not only for this year, but 22 and where it's going to go in 23 and beyond. So that'll all be part of it. I think I was, you know, somebody asked me about that yesterday, and I got into the structure of it. Mm-hmm. That'll be part of the, not the APY, but how we structure it so that we can still put weapons, you know, around Josh next year. We don't want to sign him and then all of a sudden, hey, you know what, Josh, we're going to have less weapons because we signed you. We got to be smart, and that's the balance we got to weigh, and those will be the conversations we have with his representatives.
How do you feel about night games and lots of them?
Well, I like Sunday at 1 o'clock,
yeah,
all day, woo, every day. But at the end of the day, it's a good problem to have. You know if you're getting, you know, more than the everybody gets to play one primetime game or whatever the league does. You know, the more you play, you're having some type of success. So we'll gladly accept it. But I always enjoy the Sunday 1 o'clock kickoff.
Hey, we're going to let you get back to work, but just, I got a system worked out, okay, Brandon? You know, we get up kind of early, you know, Friday morning after the draft. So if you hit like 25 and you realize you're trading out around one, could have Derek Boyko send me a text like, go to bed?
Yeah, definitely.
You don't
definitely
mind?
No, not at all. I mean, I could actually, what I could do is just set up a Zoom with you where you can sit in the war room while we talk, and then that way when I get the trade done, if you hear me that I traded out, you can just go into bed and turn the Zoom off.
I'm absolutely okay with that, by the way. If you want to do that, send me the link. I'm in.
He wouldn't even want any of the inside information. He really just wants to know if
no,
he
I just want to go to bed. I swear I'm not tweeting it out, Brandon. Sources tell me the Bills are trading out. I just want to save an hour of sleep.
Yeah, we're in the trust tree, so I got it.
It's in the vault. It's like Seinfeld says, it's in the vault, Brandon. You can trust me.
I got you. We're all in. I'll have Boyko mail you that link.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Thank you for coming on with us, as always. And good luck in the draft. Have fun.
You got it, guys. Good talking to you.